So I believe that the best of the structures or the best of the mutun, the matan that's available to each and every one of us at zero cost. You could buy a curriculum for a lot of money. But something just available to us that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never asked us for any financial amount is the text of Al-Quran al-Kareem. And this tells us, salamun. What is salam? You know, how can you have salam without the idhn and the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Salamun hiya hatta matla'il fajr. A new day. A fajr. A new opening. You know, subhanAllah, what's just happened in New Zealand is a stark reminder, is a stark reminder of why we need to get really serious about our children's education. It's a stark reminder. Because the boy who did it, I called him a boy, is 28. 28. That's like younger than, I would say, like maybe all of us, right? 28. And subhanAllah, yani, after all that's done, the gruesome fact of broadcasting it live, and then the silliness of people to further broadcast it, again shows us the reasons that we need to be more careful and serious about our children's education today. Because these things for a 28-year-old don't just happen overnight. You know, and subhanAllah, if my child is going to grow up and going to be a very successful, have a very successful career in whatever, and is not going to be able to align himself or herself with the fact that they have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think we have a major problem at hand. And I don't think it's just our children. I think it's us. Our sadqatul jariyah stopped. Now, which one of us would rather choose a limited amount of time in the dunya and a very limited amount of time? I mean, so limited that I can't even call the shots. I don't even know how limited it is. Now that is limited. And how many of us in our sanest of minds would want to trade that with the akhirah, which is خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. If we're not able to come to grips and grasp this concept or this comparison, if we're not willing to do the trade-off, we really need to look at the Qur'an differently than how we culturally have been looking at the Qur'an. We have approached the Qur'an as a book that I'm supposed to read and I'm going to get hasanat. And for me, the Qur'an represents, well, the best thing that I could do is have my child do the hifz. But perhaps you've run across kids as well and families where the child memorized the Qur'an, but that was about 5 years ago. No more. Do you run into kids of that sort? And subhanAllah, sometimes they're like the gang leaders. You know, something really went wrong. And we look at that and we're like, no way, not my child. I don't want to go this way. And yes, that is the wrong way. That is not the right way. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? How we've been approaching the Quran as an ummah? We have a lot of people leading prayers in big masajid and they don't even know what they're reading. Can you believe it? Don't you think something so valuable and infinite needs to be rethought by us today? We need to make the Quran the center of our theme. And I was talking about this also as we were coming here in the last couple of days. I've been talking about this, that education has nothing to do with money. When will we come out of this? You know, what happens in so-called developed countries? It's the skill set that makes you the money. It's not education, it's the skills. I know people highly educated, they can't make any money. They don't have the skills. I know people not very educated, they've got the skills. They make a lot of money. And I've seen a lot of educated people working for a lot of uneducated people. I'm sure you've seen that too. So when will we get out of this? When will we start to understand that education is not about getting my child to have a good career? Education is about making my child understand the infinite. That's what education is about. And if I'm not going to be able to achieve that in the name of education, if I'm going to put my child in a box with a limited mindset, and then tomorrow I've got to put him into a, you know, have him go through a course or have her go through a course where they teach you for a whole week how to think out of the box. And I'm thinking, but geez, you put me in the box in the first place. And now you want me to get out of the box? Well, I can't think any other way. And really, it's been generations. We can't think any other way. But perhaps from a country from where we've never had a crime story come to us, the US, it's pretty common. We have school shootings every now and then. A lot of people can say it's a very safe country. I don't think so. But from places like New Zealand, when this happens, I mean, a place that's been termed by many people as a slice of paradise, accommodating people, mashallah. When this can happen from a place like that, and we're then sitting on the lava, right? We're sitting on the volcano. So if something of that sort can happen there, if it's still not gonna wake us up to say that, am I doing sufficient to have my child educated? And there's nothing other than the Quran that can make us think so vastly, because every book is written by an author. But Al-Quran al-Kareem, Kalamullah, it has to be anzala. That is big. So I encourage everyone here, make the Quran a priority, not the priority of sitting down and we're all going to read a verse today. Not that one. Not the one of saying, well, Qari Sahib does his job and I'm safe. Not that one either. You know, not the one of saying that, okay, I've done the translation and I'm good to go. Not that one either. None of that's worked, has it? None of that has worked. Our children by the day are getting more disassociated and distanced from Al-Quran al-Kareem, and that's the truth. You know, at the end of it, we're just left saying, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us. And that's all we're able to say. But what are we doing for that guidance? If I'm going to spend all day, if I'm going to spend all the precious time putting my child in a box and then expect him or her to think out of the box when the moment comes, do you think, what's the probability of that happening? That's just wishful thinking, isn't it? You know, and this is why I believe, and this is why I wanted to talk about this here, and that's why I started off my talk with the question as to how many homeschooling parents do we have here? Because, and even for parents who are not homeschooling, I really like that part, the Blessed Blueprint, where it said brave learners. I think you have to be very brave just to be able to think out of the box today. I think you've got to be brave, because you've got to go really against a lot of odds, right? You're going to hear a lot of things. A lot of people calling you loony and all kinds of stuff. But you really have to think, because whatever else we are doing is not working. Have you seen the unemployment in the country? It's not working. Is it? No longer are our kids able to go to the best of the universities and have a job lined up. It's not working. Is it? You know, subhanAllah, back when I used to work, when I used to be a consultant for the British Councils in 2012, and I remember in 2012, this is 2012, we had more than 12,000 kids that year who had done their MBAs and who were unemployed. And that was those kids who were unemployed. I'm not talking about the thousands who, having done their MBA, were working as a cashier. I'm not talking about those. They were employed. So since it's not working, and since it's getting a little hotter now, isn't it about time that brave parents like you, I mean, you've already harbored a big amount of it. You know, you remember the time when you decided that you're going to homeschool your child? You remember what you had to go through? For some people, it was a natural choice. For some, it wasn't. Alhamdulillah, I have three daughters. They're homeschooled. I had a gazillion opportunities to have them schooled for free. I used to tell my wife that maybe they'd pay me for it. You know, because of my positions in the educational institutions. And they'd be proud to have a parent who represented the University of London as the country manager. And they would be proud to say that, look, you know, we have a parent of the sort. And I was told by the school owners, and I know quite a few of them, they said that what you worried about, we're even going to pick and drop, Zainab. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't even have to pay for that. And don't worry, she's going to be air conditioned and heated and everything, and it's all going to be all good. Right? But that was not something that I fell for. Very tempting. But I didn't fall for it, because I knew that Zainab would be in a box. And she would, for a long period of her life, she would not be able to get over the fact that such and such has that laptop and that cell phone. Well, it's no longer a cell phone, it's like the smartest of the phones. And I don't. And that's how she's going to be thinking. And I can't have a leader thinking that way. I can't be represented by my Sadqatul Jariyah with such a narrow mindset. I refuse that. So I encourage parents like yourselves to learn the Quran. It's not too late. It's never too late. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. Best of you who learn the Qur'an and teach it. Learn what about the Qur'an? You know, we're going through very, very difficult times. To be a Muslim, there's like an adjective. Which one? Which one are you? There's like a big adjective, you know, on top of, luring there on top of all of our heads, right? They ask you which one, and if you say you're just a Muslim, then they're like, well, can you show me how you pray, and I'll figure it out myself. I'll figure out which one you are. Okay, so we are like really hypnotized by the adjective and not by the noun by itself. So in these times, if you've not been to a madrasa, that's like a good thing. That's like a good prerequisite to have. It's not saying that all people who've been through madrasas have this narrow-mindedness. Whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects, they're protected. But this is a time when people like us need to get it together. We need to approach the Quran differently than we've been looking at it. One of the ways we need to approach the Quran is to use it as a matan, as a textbook. That's what it was intended for. It was not intended to help us make money. That's going to happen regardless. Just get your kids into some high-tech skills. There's a gazillion of them around us. But you know what? You could be a very, very skilled technician. But if I, you know, if you can't even value your commitment, if as a character you have none, then guess what? I don't want to come to you. It's become so hard today to find a good mechanic. You know, one of the hardest things in our area is a good doodwala. You know, it's like, I can't believe they don't put water. Even one brother was telling me, I told him, you know, put water, but please could you use clean one? You know, just use clean water. I know you're going to put water, but could you please make sure it's clean? That's how bad it is. You know, I think we need to wake up. It's people like us, alhamdulillah, people like you, who can do something. A lot of other people can't. I say that your kids, they should be well educated. Now when I say educated, and for you the idhn of Allah and the amr of Allah stands nowhere, then in my book, that's not highly educated at all. So my suggestion to everyone is, I don't know how you all work in a group, but I would really suggest that you work together. Take at least the 30th juz. There's like a lot of math. There's like a lot of tariq, a lot of history. There's a lot of geography. There's a lot of anatomy. Whichever way you want to take it, there's a lot of it just in the 30th juz. It's actually in every ayah of the Quran. But if you don't know it, if you don't know the noon, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And we only have this life, we only have this limited time to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our families. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most importantly, to make us from those who lead by example. You know, our children, they lead by example. Okay, so I'm going to stop with this. It's almost 12. I know we have more time, but maybe we could use the time more productively in some other way. So I'm going to stop with this, and I encourage every one of you to, inshallah, play as much of a role as you can in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, in understanding the Quran, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken to us, how the most important thing that matters is peace, aman, on land. Why that is so important, and why our children, need to be at the forefront, leading that peace initiative, bringing peace and aman on this dunya. So I stop with this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah. Bismillah.
I have a question.
Bismillah.
Okay, my name is Najia. I'm a medical doctor by profession. I just wanted to ask, I'm really grateful for the talk you have given. I just wanted to ask that you mentioned about the matan or the curriculum. In the worldly matters, if we have a curriculum, we always have the resource book because we cannot get ourselves from even the worldly curriculum. So whenever the way, if a topic is given to someone and you Google it, you don't know what to look and how to look.
How to go about it, yes.
So if we look at the Quran and find the matan, still in today's time, when we have a lot of resources, we don't know where to go and what to look for it. So if as mothers, we need to educate ourselves, from where should we start?
Okay, mashallah, very good question. So this has not just been the challenge of our time. I mean, this is just a natural understanding. If you have a what, then you must have a how to achieve that what. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always sent the prophets. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the walking, talking Quran. From the ahadith and from the seerah, it's actually the seerah. It's actually the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is preserved till today. It shows us that a man who could not read and write, how he approached something so vast, right? So what would be our way of approaching, what would be our way of learning would be, subhanallah, to take for example in the field of medical science, we know a lot more about the human body today than we knew just about 2 years ago.
Yes.
And a couple of years later, we'll know just so much more. But subhanallah, we think out of the box. We're not here to get stuck in how much we know about the human body and how much we don't. We're here to understand in this temporary phase that we have, because we all agree that we're only here for a limited amount of time. So our approach, according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as far as medicine is concerned, is that he always used prevention as the biggest of the medicines.
Yes.
You know, and we know that even from medical science today, that prevention is really better than cure.
Yes.
And subhanallah, we would always find that the how, like how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, I should know where and when was this ayah revealed. It will tell me why was it revealed then, right? And what it will do is, I will never come across this bottleneck, I'll never come across this obstacle to where the what is different than the how. You'll never come across a hadith which contradicts the Quran. If you do, you could safely say what? That's not a hadith. Because the Prophet ﷺ never contradicted the Quran. So how to go about acquiring the resource, again, has a lot to do with the seerah. Now obviously, the question, if I was to rephrase it in the academic way, would be that every curriculum tells you the learning outcomes or the objectives of what you want the child or the learner to be able to achieve after going through that process. So that's called the curriculum. The what. What development's going to take place is called the curriculum. Do you believe that reading the Quran actually develops us?
Yes.
Okay, so those are the learning outcomes. Right? Yes. On the other hand, we would say there is something known as a syllabus. A syllabus. A syllabus is not a curriculum. Right?
Yes.
What does the syllabus tell us? A syllabus tells us how to achieve the learning outcomes.
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes.
We have, so if I was to say what as a question mark, I would say that's known as a curriculum.
Yes.
If I was to say how as a question mark, I would say
syllabus.
That's the syllabus. So the what is the Quran, the how is the sunnah. Right?
Okay.
So now, if I was to pick up a book from Oxford University Press or from Paramount or any of the publishers, right? So, what they've given us is a text And then it has a comprehension if it's English. It has choice words, vocabulary building. And then it has an exercise. And there are formative and summative assessments. Not a lot of formative assessment. We're not good at that here in Pakistan. A lot of summative assessments at the end. Now when I look at that, I say, okay, now if only I had, if only someone told me that at the end of this, how, what kind of development is taking place in my child? Unfortunately, for a lot of parents, the only thing they walk away with is that my child is going to learn 50 new vocabulary words. So?
So his vocabulary would increase.
Right? But I would be more interested in how he uses that vocabulary. If it's an environment that my child cannot, you know, even connect with, then there's a very high term, there's a very high possibility that my child does know the vocabulary, but only in rote learning, only in ratta. And when a situation would happen, I would be like, well, what happened to your vocabulary? Right? And it's like the other the other day, one of the little kids, one man, he came outside and he met this little boy outside the masjid in Jum'ah, and he's, and this tall brother, mashallah, this small kid, and the kid was scared. And the brother was standing on top of that, was standing on top of the stairs, and the poor kid is standing down there, he's like, assalamu alaikum, like, how are you doing? And the child's like, okay, and now he leaves, and the father is telling the child, you're supposed to say, I'm good. Didn't you study that in school? I'm good. You say, you're good, thank you. He's like, Baba, English school mein hoti hai. Urdu hamari madri zaban hai. Now, our kids are so street smart. You know? And subhanAllah, so what happened to that vocabulary? You know, did really going through that whole chapter, actually, did I really achieve the learning outcomes if my child is not able to use it? I have not. Right? One size does not fit all. Okay? So what I'm saying is that the Quran, because it's natural, it's what we call nature, because it's natural and because we live in environments which are natural, there is a natural tendency that our child is going to connect and be able to use the vocabulary and the way of thinking that the learning outcomes of the Quran put for us. Right? If you asked me to say the same thing again, I probably couldn't. Okay? So I just want you to understand that we have a curriculum and we have a syllabus. Every country, does a country have a national syllabus or a national curriculum?
Curriculum?
A national curriculum. So a national curriculum dictates that the citizens of this nation, how should they be like as they move up the ladder? That's known as a national curriculum. How to achieve that? Now that curriculum, that national curriculum is then put out, the draft is out there, and then publishers come around and then say, they say that, well, we have now developed our textbook in accordance to the national curriculum, right? And then, but you know, this is all just good ideal theoretical talk, right? Does it happen? Do you think it happens in Pakistan? I mean, we don't even have a body to regulate it. Do you know when the last national curriculum was drafted? In 2012, and that was a rerun of what was done in 2003. So we're just a little bit behind. But subhanAllah, what's the irony? The irony is that, I mean, we are bound to fail, aren't we? Look at where we stand. Look at what's wrong with the educational system. It doesn't have a curriculum. You know, in none of the schools, I mean, if you were to pick up your child from one school and put him in another school, the other school would say that your child doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, where's the standardization? You know, what standardization? They're like, we have our standards. And they say, we're more standard than your standards. And it's like, we're holier than thou, whatever. And so, parents like us, they really need to play a more vocal role, right? Like, in effort. I hope I've somewhere or the other answered your query. As to where would you go for these resources, you would go back to the Quran. I don't think you can take much from the Quran unless you approach it through the Arabic language. Because I said that earlier, it's like the egg and chicken kind of a thing, right? Like, okay, I'm going to get the Quran. You said no translations? Oh. Right? But alhamdulillah, the Arabic is not difficult. And you have people in your circle who can assist you with that. You know, have you met those people who spend their whole life trying to learn Arabic?
Yeah.
I think something's wrong. You know? And it's like, even after 20 years, what are you doing? I'm still learning Arabic. Like, okay, good for you. Right? But where does it take you? You know? So, alhamdulillah, we need to be able to approach the Quran. Alhamdulillah, you have a medical background. There is a lot of medicine in the Quran. But it's not synthetic. It's what we would call organic, right? That's the new term for it. So there's a lot of it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease for us, inshallah.